The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and it is December 10th. It's a Tuesday, and that means that we're only a little more than a day away from the start of the President's Cup, something a lot of people that certainly get into golf have been looking forward to for probably at least a year, certainly the last several months, as everybody's been talking about it. And as usual, focusing on Tiger Woods, and a lot of it was who was he going to pick as the president, as the President's Cup team, and his four choices. Was he going to pick himself? How was he playing? And we've got most of those answers. Now we just have to let him get out there and play and see how it's all going to finish out. We've got a man who knows intimately about the President's Cup. Join us here in just a few minutes. That's Steve Elkington, our good friend, also creator of Secret Golf, secretgolf.com. Go there and you can improve your game immensely just by checking out the website and seeing some of his golfers that are on there and the different tips that they might have. But we're going to talk to Elk about his President's Cup experience, which goes all the way back to the very beginning in 1994. He was on the first four President's Cup teams, international teams, and the only one that's ever won, the only international team that's ever won the President's Cup. So he'll be joining us here in just a little bit. Frank Bassett, as always, in the Nashville studios. How are you doing today, Frank?
I'm doing good. It's snowing in Nashville. It was 70 degrees.
Oh, okay.
I was cooking steaks on the grill yesterday, yeah. Last evening, whatever. Now it's snowing. Jeez,
there
please,
you go.
You know? Yeah. And, of course, the club's closed. Club Corp, all Club Corp clubs, most of them are closed on Monday. And so I couldn't go play golf yesterday, but I can today, but I can't because it's snowing. So.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay,
it's wide open.
Hey,
I've got
to get this out. You know, we're not a political show at all.
Yeah.
But just got to say, it's the President's Cup week. The President's Cup week. And what do we have going on? So that's enough said on that. I'm not going to go any further. It's just a sad, sad cup to drink out of this morning as far as I'm concerned. So.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yep.
Had to say it.
Politics.
I just had a lot too much politics and too little what's good for us. You know, let's do something good for the American people, the infrastructure, the streets, the on and on and on and on. So,
it's a good time to play some golf, get a little distraction going.
Absolutely.
Right?
It is. It certainly is. And Elkington is good at that. You know, the only thing we could do better.
Distractions.
We need to do a show that has Steve Elkington, Kip Henley, and Howard Stern on at the same time. And Skip Howard, if we had Kip and Steve on at the same time, it could be a crazy show. But Steve has a lot of great insights, you're right, and he's a good friend of ours. And Secret Golf, secretgolf.com is a great spot to go to. Clubcorp.com, good spot to go to, too. So,
hey, by the way, Frank, you know, the times, for people that aren't aware, it's quite a different change in time, in time zones, other side of the world, in Melbourne, Australia, where this is going to be played. So while it is a Thursday through Sunday schedule for those in Melbourne and that part of the world, which it normally would be for golf, that's kind of when golf tournaments are played, because of the difference, we're actually Wednesday through Saturday.
We are.
Times here, because in the Eastern time zone, I believe it starts at 5:30.
Yes.
Eastern time is tomorrow, which actually is like 10:30 the next day, Thursday morning, in Australia. I know it's a little bit mind-boggling, but my wife traveled to China and different parts of that kind of part of the world a few years ago for her job. And so it was weird because I think we were a 12 or 13 hour difference. She would literally be getting up in the morning while I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
It'd be like, or close to it. It'd be like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And she'd be getting up in Shanghai to get to work the next day. So it's going to be the same thing for the President's Cup. We'll watch it on Wednesday evening, if you will, here in the United States, and it'll be the next morning in Melbourne when they kick things off on Thursday morning.
So effectively, if you travel around the world backwards fast enough, you can reduce your age, right? Is that
effectively? Yeah, sure. I think Einstein was the first one to figure that out, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was pretty smart dude.
Yeah.
We need to do that, Tim. We need to take a trip.
Can't go fast enough.
I guess
turn our clocks back. But anyway, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And in the United States, as always, once again, we'll talk to Elk about this, heavily favored on paper, seemingly a blowout. But we'll see. And I think, I'm not mistaken in this, I think they've been favorites, United States, in every tournament. And as we've said, only one time has the international team won. And they won by a landslide. The year they won in 98 was a huge, huge win. I believe it was like 20.5 to 12.5 or something like that points. And Elkington will know about that. But this year, again, with Tiger leading the charge, the United States looks to be a dominant team and a dominant win in that President's Cup. But we've seen that in Ryder Cups. You know, what they say on paper doesn't always translate to the golf course. So I hope it's competitive. You know, I don't want it to be over on Friday or Saturday.
I don't
like
either.
To see it.
Tim,
on the final day.
I think it will be because this golf course is difficult.
It's a bugger.
I mean, at best, it's difficult. And this golf course also is not like playing golf in the States where we play it in the air a lot. Most of the golf is played in the air. They're going to have to play some golf on the ground down there. And so it's going to be, well, we'll just let, you know, Elk tell us all about it because that's one of his favorite golf courses. And, of course, he's played that thing a million times. So,
and he's an Aussie.
And I'm glad we're not down there, though. Good gracious. What a long trip. All those poor guys. It was just pitiful to see the Golf Channel guys going to their gala party last night. And Todd Lewis in his pink tie. I sent him a text, and I can't say on the air how he responded, but I was messing with him. But, it would be so cool to be there, Tim. I mean, I wish we had gone, but that's a long trip.
It's summertime, just for another reference to people that maybe aren't familiar with that part of the world, the different hemisphere. They're in their summertime, so it could be very warm. And the temperature will be warm, but also the wind direction might change. And Tiger talked about that in one of his news conferences about the direction of the wind is going to definitely affect how the play of this golf course is. Our good friend Art Selinger, who's played all over the world too, says easily this is one of the best golf courses anywhere in the world, Royal Melbourne. So it's they're going to play on a very top-level golf course, but in starkly, contrasting kind of conditions. If I remember right, if I'm not mistaken, Frank, don't they also have those bugs that drive people crazy?
Yes.
Down there in the summertime, there's like gnats that kind of just swarm where guys are – you'll see them waving and they're constantly getting bugs all over their face. I don't know. I can't remember what they're called. Elk will know. But it seems to me that's – I'm not saying it's going to be a win or lose situation because of it, but I do remember those bugs come out in the summer down in Australia. It might be be something to watch on TV.
The Australian tsetse fly. Now, it's kind of like the no-see-ums that you have in Florida a lot. And we'll be out there. You know, if you put any kind of hair product on and you go out to the driving range early in the morning, especially Marsh Landing, Sawgrass, Ponte Vedra Beach, whatever. They bite. I mean, these suckers have teeth. Yeah. They dig in.
Even though you can't see them.
Yeah. You can't. And you're itching and they're biting you. And can't concentrate on that dead left pull that I have. Skin So Soft. Avon Skin So Soft is what a lot of people use. They put on
a little golf tip for Frank.
A little golf tip, Avon Skin So Soft, and it'll knock it out.
Get rid of those flies.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of stuff in a different part of the world, but it will be interesting. There are a few competitive words. Certainly, the international captain Ernie Els knows about competing against Tiger. Nobody's come in second to Tiger more than Ernie Els has, and he said, "You know what? As much as we've been friends," and he said a lot of glowing things about Tiger. He said, at the end of the day, we want to kick their butts. And that's the way it's going to be. And so we'll see. As much as everybody will always and go down in history honoring Tiger and saying he's transformed the game and brought a lot of money into the game for these guys that even were finishing second and 10th and whatever to him, bottom line is they want to win this one. And I think it's a challenge for the President's Cup versus the Ryder Cup because while the Ryder Cup is all of Europe, they're still kind of in a confined area and smaller. International team, you've got South Africans, Canadians, guys from Japan, from South Korea, very different cultures, different languages. It's a real challenge, I think, for Ernie Els or any of the President's Cup captains to try to bring that group together in any kind of cohesive way and make them into a team. Yeah, so I think that is one of the big challenges. But that's another point that we'll bring up to Elk to see how you try to do that because it's just different than I think a Ryder Cup, and it's certainly different than all of them being from America, you know, where they're all same language, same kind of areas, if you will.
How do you say four in Korean?
Not real sure.
Uh-huh.
That's another question. I'm writing all these questions down for Elk.
How do you say four gonna be in good Korean? Stuff. I guarantee you one thing, and we'll go to break and bring Elk in, but one thing that is going to happen, you know, the Australians don't mince many words. Those people call it like they see it.
Yeah.
And the first time that Patrick Reed puts a golf ball in a bunker. Serious. I just wouldn't want to be him down there because he is going to get ridiculed. You know they're going to go after him.
Sure.
And it's going to be bad. So put on.
Well, they needed. They needed a reason. I mean, they needed something kind of get on the Team USA and all the players even said, "Hey, we hope the fans are against them." And so I think you're going to be hearing. We've seen this in Ryder Cup, and it's changed. And I'm okay with it. That some of the sportsmanship that some people said, "Well, you shouldn't be booing in golf," and I've never agreed with that. I'm like, you know what? No. I'm not saying screaming at a guy's backswing or anything else, but if you're in a competition, it's a team competition.
Yeah,
I'm all for cheering for your guys and not cheering for the other guys. That's kind of the way it is. So it's while it's gentlemanly in its origins, you got to win. And today's fans are going to be excited. Yeah,
it's going to be miss.
Yeah, I'm clearing your throat. And that big putt. Sorry about that, Tiger.
That's kind of like the stuff we do at our clubs.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Seve Ballesteros was a master at jingling his divot repair tool.
Coins in his pocket.
Yeah, against the coin. Yeah, he would do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's it. Well, let's hear from the man. Let's get him.
Yeah, let's take a quick break here, and then we'll come back. We'll talk with Steve Elkington, again, a four-time member of the President's Cup international team. Get a lot of insight on what's going to happen here starting tomorrow in the United States with the start of the President's Cup. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio, and we'll be back with Steve Elkington right after this. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you as we're getting ready for the start of the President's Cup, which will start in the United States Wednesday early evening. And, of course, it'll be in Australia actually Thursday morning that they'll be playing because of the huge time difference. And we'll talk about that as well as a million other things with our good friend and guest Steve Elkington, who joins us on today's show. Elk, thanks for being with us today. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Doing good. You're down at the Bears Club today, working with some secret golfers.
I am. I'm enjoying this course already, and Jack Nicklaus, of course, is my favorite
player
person
of all time
in golf. And the Bears Club, Jason Duffner, is doing some testing. So I thought I'd come down and learn what testing is all about.
I think you know just a touch about that stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim and I were talking about you in the first segment. You're only winning team of the President's Cup, the international team, and you were on four President's Cup teams. What you and I've talked previously about this. This golf course, Royal Melbourne, is a booger. I mean, it's going to give the Americans, I think, a true test.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to enjoy, you know, tuning in to just seeing what Royal Melbourne's about. You know, of course, there's a lot of factors that make Royal Melbourne great. You know, one is it's built in the sand belt, which was an ocean in the middle of Australia millions of years ago that eventually drained out down through the bottom of the state of Victoria. And basically you can just dig a hole anywhere in the sand belt and it's going to have sand. And what that let the great designers like Alistair McKenzie do was it was able to shape and roll and move terrain around, and it would hold really nicely because it was so firm underneath. People think about sand being moving, but Royal Melbourne is just so in a different setting, so voluptuous. How's that word?
Uh-oh. Okay, nice. I like that word.
And it's very strategic. I listened to Ernie Earl speak yesterday about sometimes when you see the pin, it's not the it's the destination. It's not what you're necessarily aiming at. And we're going to learn a lot more about that this week because it's going to play hard and fast, and the greens are lightning, is what I've been told.
I'm kind of curious, Elk, because in the past, it seems like the American team has been favored in most, if not all, President's Cup. And again, there's the one tie, one loss for the United States from the international side. And again, it goes in. The United States goes in this year as a heavy favorite, and their world ranking much higher than the international team, and on and on and on. Give us your honest projection here. And obviously, I would guess that you pull for the international team. But in your honest projection, do you think this is going to be as competitive, or do you think that what they're saying on paper will translate into how they play on the golf course with the United States having a strong advantage?
Well, you know, you had a lot of questions in there, a lot of conjecture there, Tim, about, you know, you never know when you go overseas what's going to happen. And in 98, you know, there was a reason. Look, the U.S. team was loaded back then. They had Jack Nicklaus was the captain. We had Peter Thompson, the great five-time British Open champion, is our captain. We had a perfect storm. There was a reason that the internationals did so well that year. There was a lot of Australians on the team, which helped, because experience at Royal Melbourne is like having experience at Augusta. Then we got a real big wind. And to give an example, the fifth hole at Royal, of course, most people know there's an east and a west course at Royal Melbourne. They push the two together and they make what they call a composite course. But the fifth hole in 98 was a short par three up a hill. And when Greg Norman and I were paired together, we got to the fifth hole and it was blowing about 40 miles an hour right to left. It's only about 135 yards up a hill. And Greg, we were playing alternate shot, and Greg came over and said, what do you think? And I said, mate, I think it's sort of one of those little sort of low chip six irons about 30 yards right of the green. Let that wind just turn it over and catch it over the top of that bunker. Let it run back to the flag with no spin on it. And he goes, oh, I agree. So he hits the most beautiful shot you've ever seen. A little chip six iron out to the right, 30 yards right of the green. Let it come back and hit a great shot. And then it was, we were our partners, our playing competitors were Jim Furyk and John Houston, and Jack Nicklaus was on the tee, and they was talking about a few things. And I think John Houston finally went with a nine iron, not really understanding the heaviness of that wind, and threw it up in the air, and it landed short and bounced around, and it came back. And by the time the ball finished, it was only about 10 feet in front of him. It was pretty strange seeing that. But the point being that it took a lot of experience to play that course. And when I started to think about our team, I'm sorry I'm taking this answer so long, but we've got Mark Leishman and Cam Smith almost won the World Cup there. Of course, the jacket, Adam Scott, he knows how to play that course. And from then on, I don't know what's going to happen with our team. I hope Ernie can deliver some of this course knowledge to them.
It does project to be a very interesting President's Cup. And as I was saying before you came on with us, a lot of it centered around Tiger Woods and just his picking the guys he was going to pick as his captain's choice, as well as whether or not he'd pick himself. First question, I assume you agree with almost everybody else that Tiger, as much as it might have seemed a little bit awkward, Tiger did the right thing in picking himself and putting himself on that team?
Oh, for sure. I mean, when you think about why he would pick himself, is, you know, you're looking for points, right? Whenever you pick someone to be on a team, you know, you think, can this person deliver points? And I don't think there's anyone in the world that would not consider having Tiger Woods on the team at least 2 points coming out of that guy. So, yeah, I would. Yeah, absolutely.
The other guy, and I got to talk, the guy that he also picked, who he was very hot with and hot about getting on that team and is paired with him before in international competition, Patrick Reed. What do you think about that whole controversy with Patrick Reed? Because certainly some of the different guys on the international team were talking about the fact, and Cam Smith was one of them, that the fans are going to really get on Patrick Reed. First and foremost, go back to the Hero World Challenge. How do you feel about that? Do you think it was an intentional thing when he pulled his club away a couple of times and moved the sand when he was hitting out of a bunker? And do you think he will get a lot of grief, if you will, from the Australian fans down there?
Well, I don't think just the international players think they were getting flack. I think the whole world thinks they gave him flack about what he did at the Hero. Absolutely, he knew what he was doing. I mean, we were talking about it this morning. I mean, that was a blatant breach. You know, he should have probably been disqualified. And, you know, he's come up with an excuse. And quite honestly, I think, the Australian fans, I saw a video this morning where Justin Thomas was in the bunker this morning and he did two swipes, the same as Patrick Reed. He swiped the sand back two times. And, hey, P. Reed, I don't know if you guys have seen it already. So,
no.
You know, yeah. Tiger, look, he's made it a little bit more difficult for Tiger, because now he has to deal with who's going to play with Patrick Reed. If it gets a little dodgy out there with the crowd, which it will, and rightly so, there's going to be some of that there. Someone said today, if it happened in Europe and he was going to play in the Ryder Cup, it would be mayhem. But look, he's brought this on himself. It's not anyone else's fault. You can't point to anyone else and ask them what they think. He's the one. There's no benefit of the doubt. He's already been convicted of moving the sand. He's already been penalized for it. And, you know, there's a weird rule now in the golf that says, well, I didn't intend to do that.
Yeah, I didn't mean to.
Well, of course you did. You scooped out the back of the ball on the first swipe, and then you got the other piece on the inside so you'd have a clean shot at it. So the intent was there.
Yeah. Well, how do you, you know, Elk, everybody knows you're a hell of a player, and still to this day. How do you not feel that? Come on. I mean, we all feel it.
Yeah, we all feel it, Frank.
You feel it. I know.
We know it.
Yeah, I know. Just unbelievable. Anyway.
And you see it.
Well, yeah, you do. You know?
The lie's better.
Both times.
The lie's better. It was the back of the footprint when you took the first one out. Now the club fits in there just nice.
Oh, take the shovel out of his hands. Quit digging.
That's why I'm glad there's no cameras when I'm playing golf.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite moves right there, Frank.
All of us are appreciative of that, Tim. All of us,
absolutely. So I think, going back to it, I think he's just going to have to deal with, you know, this is his bed, and he's going to have to lay in it, right?
Yeah, he is.
Sure.
So what, you're down there working with your guys, Duff and the boys. Secret Golf is booming. I mean, you guys are just hitting it on all cylinders. How is that new gambling app of yours going?
You know, gaming is just a sort of a one-word wrecking crew. And, you know, whether you're gaming for prizes or whether you're gaming for money with your friends, you know, to me, you know, one of the great opportunities that we have at Secret Golf, knowing that we have a lot of tour players' content, is, you know, in the future, what I see is going to be better than just us three sitting down watching the golf on TV. You know, we're now going to be able to have the phone. We're going to be able to learn the break of the greens on our phone. We're going to be able to hear from tour players on how they're going to play these holes. We can have action with our friends. We can be in a FedEx Cup type format where they can gain points and get into playoffs. Mate, it's going to be fantastic.
It is really cool. It is really cool. How do we get to it? How do our listeners?
Well, Secret Golf Tour app is available right now in the App Store. We're down right now because we're not going to open back up till the, you know, the golf starts in January. But yeah, I mean, you'll be able to go in, pick your players. There's all kind of different games that we've coded in there. There's games that if you're thinking you can pick the guys that you think are going to miss the cut, we got that game called Trunk Slammer. We got all kind of games, Frank. It's all fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. So how's your game? What are you up to these days? Are you going to do some playing this next year? You're going to be out there?
You know, I'm always working on my game. I'm always trying to hit the ball well. I love golf so much. You know, I just love making that ball, at least try to make the ball do what I want it to do. And this, I'm always out there. My son, as you know, plays on University of Houston teams. I'm always around the boys. I'm here with Duffner. I see Bud Coley over there. They're talking and working on their game. So I just like being around it. I don't know if I'll play. I might. Who knows? You never know with me, mate.
It's a sure thing. We're joined by Steve Elkington, again with Secret Golf, and also great, great golfer, and the President's Cup right around the corner. We'll let you go here in just a minute. I just wanted a couple more questions I had about the President's Cup, since you're our resident expert on that. We talked earlier about the international team being just that, and you've got guys from all over the world outside of Europe that are playing with a lot of different languages and cultures and whatnot, a bit different than the Ryder Cup even. Versus a team that's all Americans and basically kind of growing up in the same environment, if you will. Is that a handicap for the international team when you were on the team or you look at them now, that there is such a mishmash of different cultures and languages?
Oh, for sure. It's certainly harder for us to get a common thread that goes through. But, you know, we had great team chemistry in 98. As I've said already, we had a great team. We had Nick Price on the team, Greg Norman, Vijay Singh, all these guys. And we even had two New Zealanders, and I'll give you an idea of how the culture in our team was. The first match, the first day in 98, the American Jack Nicklaus, captain, put out number two player in the world, David Duval, with the number three player in the world, Marco Mira, and Peter Thompson put out Frank Noblo and Greg Turner, the two New Zealanders. And Jimmy Roberts from NBC, a great friend of mine, said, oh, my God, this is a mistake by Peter Thompson. These guys are going to get they're going to thrash him and blah, 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 blah. Kind of like what you did, Tim, about 10 minutes ago and tell us, we're going to get beat the whole way. And sorry, mate, I couldn't help that. But
That's all right. Giddy.
So we, in our team room, we all wrote down our lunches that what we wanted Frank Nobilo and Greg Turner to cook us, because we knew that they were going to get beat by 7 and 8 and 7, and we put our lunch request so they could cook it. Well, I don't know if you guys know that if you get two New Zealanders that want to do something, there's almost unbeatable, and they knocked off those two in the first match. And they were more excited about not having to cook us lunch when they came in than they were about beating the number 2 and 3. And to be honest with you, that was the tone that set it for the week. It was just like,
sure,
these guys aren't going to beat us. And that was the way it went down.
Well, we're hoping that it's somewhat close to that same experience, because I want it to be competitive.
Me too.
I really wanted to see it come down the last few matches. That's what the drama of this.
Yeah.
And I hope that it will. And yeah, from the viewing audience as well as the players and everything like that, I just love the drama of it. So we're looking forward to it. No, we do appreciate your time. I know you're a busy, busy guy, and you got to get back to your players over there working with them down in Florida. But thanks for taking some time and giving us a little insight and some enlightenment about the President's Cup.
Of course, for you too, anytime. Thank you very much.
Thanks, buddy. See you soon.
Take care. All right, Steve Elkington, we appreciate it.
Steve
was moving around there, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was noisy out there. Wow.
Yeah, it's like he's out of breath. Well, he was kind of in.
He's there with Duffner and the boys.
Keep an eye on those guys.
Those secret, go to secretgolf.com, folks, and check that site out. It's really cool. And what they do and the instruction. It's very
That's
helpful
what you
to
get.
Me.
You get to learn from guys like Duffner, and you get to learn from all the different
Jackie Burke
players that he has that are on there, which are dozens of LPGA and PGA Tour players that will give you their fun and games that they have a lot of good times on that website, but they also give you some pointers about how to hit out of the bunker without touching the sand, stuff like that.
Oh, boy, that's...
I don't know.
I just don't know what to say about that.
Just keeps coming back, and I think about it, and I didn't see it live. Did you see it live when it happened?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Now,
the close-up, they
did the close-up afterwards in the replay, but you saw it, and I don't know. I like Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
I like Justine, both, personally, but God, put the shovel down. My gosh.
Yeah, I mean, he
just
I
say,
mean,
hey,
right.
I did
I
mean, it.
No,
I,
no one's
it
fault
was
but
a
his own.
Mental error or it was a character mistake. I don't know. But don't try to cover it. It's like you're standing there with bloody hands over somebody and a knife in your hand. And it was suicide, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
He definitely did. And he is going to get a lot of flack.
Ooh.
Aussie fans are well known for for being vocal. So we're going to see
Fosters they're going to scream at him.
Sure. The point that Elk was bringing up, and I think that's a justifiable one, is Patrick Reed not only brought it on himself, but he's going to have to be playing with someone, right?
Yeah.
And that's going to be, let's just say it's Tiger. Let's just say it's Bryson DeChambeau. Whoever it is, they're going to have to deal with playing through a lot of the noise that's going to be coming their way. So Patrick Reed has created a little bit of unnecessary drama for his playing partners as well. And but you know what? Boy, it never ends with him, does it? I mean, Patrick Reed and this kind of stuff and controversy, if you will, of whatever sort, will never go away. We'll be talking about Patrick Reed when he's 60 years old on the Champions Tour and the stuff he's done. So
I
guess that'll maybe make it entertaining.
I mean,
Oh
man, it's sad to see. Anyway, so it's gonna be interesting. I can't wait to watch it. You know, I'll see every minute of it for sure. So,
how about the pairings? Are you? We haven't quite gotten, as far as I know, we don't know exactly who the pairings are going to be. Although, like I said, Tiger and Patrick have played together and seem to like each other. So maybe Tiger will play with Patrick. Tiger's also really tight with Justin Thomas.
Yes.
And they play quite a bit in Florida. They're within 30 minutes of each other living in Florida. So they play a lot there too. So Tiger and Justin Thomas might be together. I mean, there's some real good choices here. You got Tony Finau and Dustin Johnson. Those guys could out-bomb everybody else if – that's kind of an intimidating factor to
if
see these
Dustin's
guys that
healthy.
Can hit the ball 350. Yeah, we'll
if,
see how
if
Dustin's
he's healthy,
doing. Of course,
you know,
he
didn't,
missed the Hero World Challenge
because of that reason. So.
Some injuries. So so we'll see. I mean, there's other guys that we haven't seen an awful lot of. You know, Xander Schauffele we haven't seen. Patrick Cantlay we haven't seen playing internationally a lot. Even Gary Woodland, who's been around a long time, but he hasn't been in much international competition. So while they're not necessarily new faces to the tour – kind of new faces in this format. So
Gary, of course, experienced an event during Tiger's tournament this past week on a par five where it was in all white, if you noticed, and he dunked one in the water and then dunked another one in the mud and then came out of the mud and came across the green and sculled it and back of a bogey. Bogey. What would have been a triple for most people, he turned it into a bogey. So Gary Woodland's got a lot of game. A lot of game.
Yeah.
Looking forward
to it. We'll see. I mean, again, my gut tells me, and again, the world rankings are, the average for the U.S. is like 12 world ranking. The average for the international team is 46 for an average world ranking. So
that's out the door. Just out the door now.
Yeah. You know, just looking at this, you kind of see. But and I do agree. I mean, I don't want to belabor the point, but I do. My last question there to Elk, I just think that when you're talking about guys from all these different places, it is a bit tougher. And I don't think the European team, they seem like they hang out a lot, right? Even on the European tour and even traveling back and forth. I don't know that these guys, you know, I don't know that Abraham Anser hangs out an awful lot with Sung Ji Im, you know, for example. And so if you're paired with them, you know, it's almost like you have to introduce yourself on the first tee. How you doing? Yeah, where are you from again? You know, whatever. And I think it's just a disadvantage. It is what it is, but I think it's just a bit of a disadvantage for the international team.
I can't wait to the next event when I see Nabilo, and I can bring up the story about you just didn't want to have to cook lunch for Elk and the boys. That's what's the deal. And Nabilo's one of the best out there. He's a great guy.
You know what that made me think of? It made me think that times have really changed, because I'm guessing back then when they won, and that was 98, they were cooking for each other or cooking their own food. Obviously, they have chefs now, and they fly in it's like a team of 50 that caters to these different teams in the international team. In this case, the U.S. team coming across. It just made me laugh, going, you guys were cooking for each other, cooking for yourselves? You didn't have a chef? I'm like, oh, I'm sure. I almost have the feeling that there's 12 chefs for 12 different players on the U.S. team, depending on what kind of menu you want to have. So it's a different world.
Adds to the camaraderie when you're, you know, burning a steak on the grill. Now you're eating tofu and doing blended drinks. I don't know.
Tiger said that they had a bit of jet lag. You know how long that flight was, Frank?
No.
The flight from the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas, they got on a charter plane. I actually didn't know that planes could fly this far without refueling. But it was a nonstop all the way to Melbourne, 26 hours.
What? Was it really? I didn't realize that.
It said 26 hours. I thought it was maybe like 18, 17. It said 26 hours because they were actually in the air. Now, maybe that's, you know, runway to runway, and they're on the ground for a little bit here and there, but they said it was 26 hours on the plane without getting out. Now, they flew in a big plane, right? And they had the whole plane to themselves. It was even kind of configured with a seating arrangement in the front where they could have like a lounge area and all that and some little bedding, and so you could take a nap. So it was, you know, configured. It wasn't like you're sitting in, like you and I would.
Well, you would think.
Going somewhere.
It's the President's Cup. Wouldn't Trump have sent Air Force One to take him over there?
I don't think so. But that's a long way to go. 26 hours? Yeah. I think you'd just be coming out of that fog right about now.
Yeah.
Getting ready for your practice round.
That's a long way to go.
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
It's going to be good.
We'll see.
It's going to be good.
Starts tomorrow. Yeah. And we'll talk about it. We'll be back on tomorrow right before they tee off. So we can talk some more about that and see what we think about that. And some other stories will come out. Maybe we'll have a better, clearer understanding of who might be paired with each other and what we're looking at as far as team goes from both the international and the U.S.
And we can drill down with Stankowski, Paul Stankowski tomorrow, right?
I think we'll have Paul Stankowski on. Boy, feel for him, Frank.
He just came off of qualifying. I was
trying to qualify for the PGA Tour Champions and missed it by a couple of shots.
Yeah, I was heartbroken for him.
And we'll find out. He'll tell us more about it. But a day that scoring was there, low scoring was there because a lot of the guys that were getting to 6 and 7 under, and he just could manage. I think he shot even par, maybe even one over on that final day. So if he could have just gotten even a few under, he would have been there. So, yeah, we'll talk about that as well as President's Cup. He's so laid back. It's almost like, more time to surf. He'll be okay.
I think he still gets into some tournaments. He's competitive as hell.
So, yeah.
So I think it's stung a little bit.
I mean, if you go there to play to qualify, you're not going there to come home. So,
yeah
I'm sure it was going to be. But that'll be tomorrow. So, all right, we're done here, Frank.
Well, that's it. Why?
Play some music.
Why?
Because you got to go play some golf.
In the snow?
Snowflakes. Yeah, get on your sled. Yep. Get the reindeer out. Head down to the golf course.
Yeah, Rudolph's dead.
Hey, don't forget to check out Club Corp. We thank them for everything they do for this show. ClubCorp.com is the website, and go to the website, click on the box there, and it will pull down all the different courses, many of which will be in your area. But when you join one in your area, you're a member and have privileges all over the country at all the different facilities. So be sure to check them out at ClubCorp.com. Well, we appreciate Steve Elkington joining us, as well as all of you that join us. We appreciate it each and every time for you to be here. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us, and remember to be here next time for Golf Talk America.